This morning, as you can see on the front of your bulletin, we're going to be talking about God's direction for our lives. God's way is the best direction, is what it says on the front of the bulletin. I want to talk with you a little bit about discerning the Lord's will this morning. And I know that there are many of you who have asked me questions about how to discern the Lord's will, especially in these days as a church, where that is a foremost question. That is what's on the forefront of many minds and hearts, is what is God's will for the days ahead as an assembly? And I think that the best way to address this is to look to the Word of God. What does God's Word say about His will and how to discern His will, not only corporately, but also individually as believers in Jesus Christ? It says in Hosea chapter 14, verse 9, and this is kind of the springboard for our discussion today. Hosea chapter 14, verse 9 says, "Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall." And that comes from the New Living Translation. The first type of discernment that I want to talk about is discerning the permissible will of God. Discerning the permissible will of God. That which God permits by His will. You see, sometimes we have difficulty in discerning the will of God. And the kind of discernment that Hosea is talking about in chapter 14, verse 9, is really not that difficult to discern. It's not a difficult path to discern for the believer. In this time in history, when Hosea, a minor prophet, speaks this to the people of Israel, Israel was wandering from God. They would turn to other idols. They were making decisions about who their leader was going to be outside of consulting God. They wouldn't listen to the prophet of God. They had all kinds of paths before them, and they kept picking paths, making decisions that were contrary to what God had said, "This is what I want for you." And so Hosea gets in there after talking about how the people of Israel are ignoring what God has established, and says at the beginning of chapter 14 this. He says, 14 verse 1, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall." Basically, in discerning the Lord's will, the first question that comes up is, what has God already said about this? Israel was living in disobedience to God, and they were reaping the consequences of doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And Hosea was saying that there are some things about the will of God that are simple to discern, like obedience, living righteously. For instance, I once had an individual come to me all confused about feelings that he was having. Feelings are often the antithesis, work against discerning God's will for our lives, but he was very confused about some feelings that he was having because he had met a woman that intrigued him that was not the woman that he was married to. And his question to me, in all seriousness, was, "Do you think that because I feel this way, that it's God's will for me to explore a relationship with this other woman?" It's a serious question to me. Came to the pastor for some spiritual advice about God's will for his life, and in essence asks me, "Do you think it's God's will that I cheat on my wife?" Well, do we need to pray and fast and put on sackcloth and ashes for days in order to determine God's will in that situation? Absolutely not. The Bible speaks clearly to him in that situation, with all kinds of various ways of looking at it. I shared with him that it could not possibly be God's will because the Bible speaks clearly against infidelity and sexual immorality. Scripture clearly reveals God's will in the situation. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, laying down his life for her. Put her needs before your own needs. Now, we would look at that and say, well, that's a simple one. Well, there are less extreme situations where the path that you might be considering is a path that leads to unrighteousness. Again, the permissible will of God will always side with what the Bible says, will always side with righteousness. And so if you have a decision to make before you, a path to pick, something to decide, whether it has to do with your career, whether it has to do with a decision that you need to make about moving, about, you can fill in the blank, because often we are looking for guidance from God for something. The first question to ask in discerning the Lord's will is, what does God's word already say to me about this situation? It's the word of God, and he speaks to us through it. He's not going to contradict his written word with a feeling in your heart. And so if you get a feeling that is leading down a path that is contrary to the word of God, it's not God speaking to you. It's not his Holy Spirit. Quite often, it's our own desires. Our own desire and bent towards sin and self-gratification and self-fulfillment, that we cloud out what we know what Scripture says, which brings up an important point. Do you know what Scripture says? It's important to be reading the Word of God on a regular basis because it tells you of the character of God, which makes it much easier to discern His will when it comes to that which is permissible in his will. But what if you're faced with a decision that opens paths that do not lead to unrighteousness? The choice before you, A, B, C, or D, all the options, you look at them and you say, well, all of these things are permissible by God. All of these things, none of them are sin. None of them lead to unrighteousness. None of them are going to compromise my integrity or bring shame to the name of the Lord. So how do you decide when all the paths before you seem like they could be good paths, good choices, that which would bring glory to God one way or the other? That kind of discerning the Lord's will is certainly more difficult. But we're not alone. We have the benefit of the Spirit of God. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ and trust him for your salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you and is your counselor, your guide, the one who comes alongside you, the one who confirms in your heart and illumines Scripture to you, the one who brings Scripture to mind, the one who orders your steps. He's right there with you all the time. The promise of the Word of God is, I will never leave you or forsake you. And that is especially true when the Holy Spirit resides within you and you have become the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. So the question then is not, what's the permissible will of God, but rather, what is the perfect will of God? What's the perfect will of God? Acts chapter 16 tells a story about that applies here very well. And if you're coming to the evening service tonight, this will be expounded on much more thoroughly than I can cover this morning. But Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and following, what's happened here is that Paul and Silas have decided to go out on a missions trip, and they're leaving from Antioch. They had decided that they were going to go back and visit all the churches, well, the ones that Paul had been to before, not the churches, but the communities where they had gone before and there had been believers in Jesus Christ. And so Paul said, hey, let's go back to those same places where we saw fruit before and go encourage the believers. Let's go on missionary journey number two. And so Barnabas goes one way with John Mark, but Paul takes Silas and says, we're going to go this direction. And so the initial path is quite easy. We know that God's will was for people to come to faith in him and that they would be encouraged. So the permissible will of God was, yes, go back and encourage the new believers. So Paul goes back through all the same communities up into Lydia and Derbe and picks up Timothy along the way, and they continue on as they're going north. And so they've picked a direction that they'd gone before. Then they get to the end of where they had been. A new territory opens up to them. And Paul thinks, let's take a westward bearing because down there is the Decapolis. We're going to head towards the ocean. And down there is Ephesus and Laodicea and Colossae and all those cities down there. There's lots of people. It's highly populated. It's wealthy. There's good trade routes there. If we go down there, there's many places that it just seems that that would be the logical decision to do, is to go where there's going to be more fruit, where we're going to have a greater impact, where there's more people, where there's more cities, where there's more opportunity. That makes sense. And so Paul and his companions, at this point, a couple of other guys with him, they think we're going to turn west. But listen to what Acts chapter 16 says when Paul decides that he's going to, after he's done visiting all the other churches in Phrygia and Galatia, it says here, this is when he wants to turn west and go into Asia. It says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. He wanted to go there and preach the gospel. Well, that's in the permissible will of God. In fact, that was the command, that they go and make disciples of all nations. So now we're not talking about that which is permissible or not permissible in the will of God. Now we're talking about specific direction. The perfect will. He wants to go west. The Holy Spirit prevents him from doing that. And so instead of going west, they remain in the region, it says, where all of these new believers had been made. So like, well, the Spirit of God's not letting us go there. So we must stay here. A little while later, Paul and his companions discern that, hey, you know what? If we're not supposed to go west, maybe we're supposed to go northeast so that we can go into the provinces up there. Because, again, highly populated in that area. It would be modern-day Asian Turkey. And so let's go there because there's lots of trade routes. It's on the Black Sea and the Mediterranean Sea and the route that goes between there. There's lots of cities up there. It's new territory. Let's go there and preach the gospel. Again, in the permissible will of God, to go and make disciples of all nations. Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 7. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Again, it's in the permissible will of God to go and to tell people about Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel to all nations. They go to the northeast. They want to get into, through Bithynia in order to get into the province that they're going up into. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. And so they went past Mysia and it says down to Troas because that's coming out of the mountains, but it's a more northerly bearing. And they get to Troas, and they literally cannot go any further because it's the end of the world. It's the ocean. It's the edge of the Mediterranean Sea. They get there, they're at Troas, they're like, we're not allowed to go west. We're not allowed to go east. So we just kept on going north because we've covered everything in the south. We get to the end of the north and we're standing at the edge of the ocean. I'm sure that they must have been puzzled because this wasn't the plan. So they stay in Troas, and that evening, of course, I'm sure they were praying. Paul has a vision. Continuing on in Acts chapter 16, verse 9, during the night, now they're in Troas, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once. Now the words changed here from they did this, they did this, they did this, because now the writer of Acts, who is Dr. Luke, had met them in Troas. He had now joined the missionary journey. So now we've got Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke are the primary missionaries. So he says, so we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You see, it wasn't on their radar. But now begins a new phase in Paul's missionary journey, leaving Asia behind and going to Europe. So they get in a boat at Troas, and they head towards Philippi. When they get to Philippi, they spend a couple of days there because it's not, they're just getting their orientation. Never been to Europe before. They're in the city of Philippi and they think, hey, if there were people that were going to be, who are devout and they were going to pray, they're probably going to meet down at the river. Because in all of our churches, we sing, to the river, I am going, and meet me at the river. So let's go to the river. So these four guys go down to the river and they meet some ladies there, and begin talking about faith in Jesus Christ, and they meet a woman from Thyatira, which is in the region of the Decapolis where the Spirit of Jesus did not let Paul go a little bit earlier. Instead, he wanted her to meet Lydia from Thyatira in Europe, in Philippi, so that she would become a believer. And so that they began a new church in Philippi. They stayed there for some time. Many people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And now the gospel had made it across the water and was spreading into Europe from that visit into Philippi. They must have been puzzled when they turned to the west and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go west to preach the gospel. And then when they tried to go to the east, the northeast, and again to a highly populated area, and the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, they must have been puzzled when all the doors for ministry that they were thinking of were closed by the Spirit, and then they found themselves in Troas, the most northerly they could go, wandering into the sea, wondering, what are we doing? They hadn't thought about going to Macedonia. But after having a vision of what lay beyond the sea, they concluded, this is what the Spirit of God must be leading us to. So they got on a ship, sailed for Europe. The obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit resulted in the establishment of a faith community, a beachhead in Europe, in Philippi, and the gospel being spread through Europe on this second missionary journey, and then again on the next one, the third missionary journey, when Paul goes back to visit the churches that are established there as well. Also in the front of the bulletin this morning, there's a scripture passage, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. And this is from one translation, and I'll read from another as well. Proverbs 16, verse 9, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes his steps. In other words, man makes his plans, but God directs him. You know, it's a comfort to know that God is concerned and interested in the order of your steps and the direction that you would go. It's okay to make plans. It's okay to to have your plans before you and to set forward a course. But I would caution you in this. Be open to what the Spirit of God is speaking to you about. That doesn't come often from the Word of God, other than a confirmatory way, because it doesn't say in here, in Acts chapter 17, and Pastor Lowell will receive an invitation to leave Terrace Pentecostal Assembly, and he will take it. It's not there. I want to talk to you about a little bit of what's happening behind the scenes, because many of you have asked about how is it that God led us to make a decision to leave Terrace. You see, discerning the will of God involves your mind, your emotions, and your spirit interacting with the Holy Spirit. And when we engage all of these faculties to sense the will of God, we can, in a clearer way, hear what he is saying to us. When we're tired, emotionally drained, distracted, or have allowed sin to break communication with God, it's difficult to discern his will. Now, going into this past autumn, I was exhausted, emotionally depleted, and unable to clearly discern God's will because of not being fully engaged emotionally. It wasn't until that emotional exhaustion took me to a place of rest that I began to heal and sense the Lord's will for myself and my family and for Terrace Pentecostal Assembly. I'd made plans. I had set a course, but it was the Lord who was beginning to direct my steps, or he was directing my steps. You see, I had no desire to leave Terrace. But I clearly sensed that the Lord was releasing me from Terrace Pentecostal Assembly. And Marcy and I prayed and talked at length about what that would look like. We understood or discerned that the Spirit was preventing me from continuing on with my plans to remain in Terrace as the senior pastor of this church. But we didn't know what the Lord was saying about the next steps. We didn't know what he was saying about what else he had in plan. It was an invitation to be obedient to that first step. And sometimes the Lord will just give you enough to be faithful with, instead of laying out the whole plan in front of you, which would scare you into a fetal position on the floor with sucking your thumb. He doesn't want that for us. And so he reveals in increments, this is what I want you to know. Deal with this. Take this step. Be faithful with the little that I've given you, and I'll give you more. Those are biblical principles. And so we had one step laid out before us. Didn't know what would be beyond that. I imagine that Paul had a moment in his ministry trip when the Spirit prevented them from continuing in his travel plans to the west or to the east. When Paul kind of went, well, Lord, if not there, then where do we go? If we're not going to go preach the gospel in the west and you're not going to allow us to preach it in the east and there's nothing in front of us, now what? Where do we go? His traveling party then decided, since we're prevented from going east and west, let's just stay here. Let's remain in the area in which there has been something established. And so as a family, in the same way, we didn't know which path to take. And so our thought was, well, let's stay in the region. Let's stay here until we receive further direction from the Lord. You know, it was confirmed in my spirit while I was on a personal retreat at the end of February. Through solitude and prayer, I knew that when I returned to Terrace at the beginning of March, that I would have a board meeting with my board. And I knew that at that board meeting, I needed to talk with the board about the days ahead. And some of the board members are nodding their heads because they remember that meeting when I talked with them about a sense of being moved by the Spirit to conclude ministry at Terrace. I talked with Marcy about it over the phone at the end of the retreat. She confirmed that she was sensing the same thing. The problem was we still didn't know what path to take. And without definite direction, the plan was to just stay in Terrace as long as the Lord saw fit. And we were willing to remain in the community that we love with the people that we love, but we really didn't know how that was going to work. It would be unusual. But we put our trust in God and determined that I would talk with the board about what we felt the Spirit was saying to us, that first step. When we made that decision that we were going to talk to the board about that, about saying this is what we feel the Lord's doing, and so we need to make plans to conclude our ministry in Terrace, God began to open up step two. It wasn't until after obedience to step one had taken place. And then step two was open to us. We didn't have to wait long after making that decision before the Lord opened an opportunity to us. The question was whether or not this door that was open was something that was opening to us and in God's will. Again, permissible will of God, yes. But is it His perfect will? And when I was first asked to consider, because the way that it was presented to me was, would you like to come work at Christian Life Assembly? I assumed that that would be in Langley, in the city, at the almost mega church. And right away, there was a check in my spirit. And so I responded without hesitation, no, thank you. Don't want to move to the city. Don't want to be on the staff at a big church. No. I responded very quickly because the idea that I had in my mind that was being proposed did not resonate with my spirit. But when I was told that the role would be in a small community, small staff of one, the only pastor, a campus pastor, the check in my spirit left. It was like I was no longer being prevented, to use Paul's terminology. So I asked for a few days to consider that and to pray. Again, my desire was to remain in Terrace, but a stronger desire to be in the Lord's will was a greater desire to be in the Lord's will than for what I wanted. So after a few days, I agreed to go into what would be referred to as a discerning process with a leadership team at Christian Life Assembly. When I returned to Terrace, met with the board, I shared with them the direction that I felt that the Lord was leading. On that meeting we had in March, as a board, we prayed together. We sought the Lord. And I can tell you that it was probably one of the strangest board meetings that I've ever been in. Because we were talking about weighty issues. We were talking about concluding my ministry agreement with Terrace Pentecostal Assembly and leaving the community, or at least finishing up in Terrace as the senior pastor. And we were laughing together. And it was lighthearted. We sensed the presence of God working in us. And all around that table, there was such a confirmation of, yes, this first step is right. No, we're not happy about it. We don't like it. But there was a resonation in the spirits of each of the men that sat around that table that said, yes, this is what God is leading us into. There only was one question remaining as we adjourned that meeting on that night, and the question was timing. When? When would this happen? We met a few days later for an early morning meeting, Saturday morning, March the 28th. And 10 days had gone by or so, and no, it wasn't quite 10 days because we'd met prior to that. Not even a week had gone by. And we met together as a board, and understandably, the board, the leadership, was concerned that we cannot carry on indefinitely with a pending resignation. It would be not healthy for the church, for the leadership, to remain in limbo for very long. So we were pressing the Lord for a decision about what to do as far as timing goes. The suggestion was, and the thought was that there would be an announcement that would come to the membership of the church at the AGM, which was on Sunday night, the 29th. But as we prayed about it, as we thought about that, we sensed that the Lord preventing us, I certainly sensed the Lord was preventing us from doing that. Again, was it permissible? Sure. Because we were taking a step in the direction of what God wanted. But there was a check in the spirits of the men that were talking about it, saying, I'm just not entirely comfortable with us on the inside. There's something that's preventing us. And so we said, you know what, not this Sunday night. Let's wait till after Easter. Okay. That seemed that there was, it was more permissible. It was, okay, there was, the check was taken from our spirits as we planned that. I also shared with the board that I'd entered a discerning process with this opportunity that had been presented to me. And I felt that we should wait until after Easter to make the announcement, regardless of how the presented opportunity played out. We would make an announcement on April the 12th, regardless how things turned out with CLA. Again, there was a clear sense that our plans seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, but we didn't understand why. Why they were going to be the things were playing out the way that they were. That week, I'd been struggling that whole week with a cold, nasal congestion, coughing, and when you're sick like that, you're not allowed to go to the hospital to do pastoral visitation. They say, no thanks, keep your germs at home. And so all week I'd been staying away from the hospital and neglecting some of my visitation responsibilities there. But on Saturday afternoon, I was feeling really good, actually. No more coughing, sneezing, headaches. All that was gone. And Grace was in the hospital. And I'd wanted to go visit her before, but because of my sickness, I didn't want to go see her. But that afternoon and that evening, just real had a sense of urgency. And Marcy will attest to this, confirm it. When she came home from work and I came home from a long day, we were both exhausted, we were tired. It had been a busy day. We had more things planned that night. And I said, we need to go and visit Grace. And it was, she's like, oh, I'm so tired. But you're right, we need to go. And so we went late in the evening to visit Grace in the hospital. And we were able to be with the family that evening. We pray for them and be with them and say goodbye to Grace. Because within a very short time of our visit was her last moments before going to be with Jesus. You know, I marvel at the leading of the Holy Spirit, even in small details. You know, his heart for his people, I believe, was shown even in the timing of an announcement. We did not know, but he knew when Grace would be called home. And so I was able to be with the family, to minister to the Warner family and their sorrow without the distraction and the upheaval of a resignation on Sunday morning or Sunday evening. You know, Clarence shared with me, and I hope I'm not telling, but Clarence shared with me that in Grace's last couple of weeks, her biggest concern, her question was, what would we do without Pastor Lowell and Marcy? I don't know if I could handle a resignation. I don't know, what would we do? That her heart would be broken at the thought of us leaving TPA. And both Clarence and I talked about this and feel that the Lord spared her the pain of that earthly transition that she said would have broke her heart. You know, I am so thankful for a board of elders at this church that was able to discern the leading of the Spirit in something that may seem as trivial as the timing of the announcement of a resignation that we all knew had to come. We sensed it. We knew that it was God's will that this is what take place. But even in the timing of it, praying together and asking God to help us, we had our plans. But the Lord directed the steps. Further to that, because even at that time, we still did not know where the Lord would lead my family. And in those days leading up to my resignation, even a couple of days before that Sunday morning, or the Friday when we sent a letter out to our membership, even to that point, there was not clarity about what the Lord had for us. But after coming to the end of a rigorous discernment and interview process that involved three separate interview communities, all of them affirmed the direction of the Lord and asked us to consider this invitation to go to Souk. It was with deep sorrow, and if you were here on that Sunday morning, you will remember that it was deep sorrow that the announcement came, but also a sense of the clear leading of the Holy Spirit and a deep-seated peace. We don't often understand why the Lord does the things that he does. And it's not our job to know. It's our job to obey. It's our job to discern and to take steps. It's our job to tune our spirit to his spirit and to step out in faith and obedience to what he is saying. Sometimes when we do that, it leads to pain. But I believe that God's way is the best direction. It may not always be the easiest direction. It may not be the most painless decision, but it's the best decision. When we look at Paul and Silas, and Luke and Timothy, who followed the leading of the Lord and went from Troas into Europe and then to Philippi, if they knew that within a short amount of time they would be beaten, arrested, and thrown in prison, do you think it would have been so easy to get on that boat? But think about what happened as Paul and Silas were arrested and thrown in prison. And in the late hours of the night, they're singing praises and hymns to God, probably quoting the Psalms and singing through the Psalms in the prison. And then God causes an earthquake to take place and the prison doors all fly open. And the jailer, the Philippian jailer, wants to throw himself onto his own sword because he thinks that all the prisoners have escaped and a death sentence awaits him. But Paul says to him, "Don't harm yourself. We're all still here." And that Philippian jailer comes to faith in Jesus Christ, and not just him, his whole household. And there the church is established with a large number of people because many come to faith in Christ. But it took an earthquake, it took jail, it took pain of a beating. Sometimes we may not think that this is the best because we experience pain. But Scripture will attest and affirm that if it's God's leading, it's the best direction, regardless of pain or discomfort. And I trust that since God has prepared a path for me, that he has confirmed by the Holy Spirit, that he is also preparing a path for someone else that leads to Terrace Pentecostal Assembly, which will be tailor fit for them. I trust God in that. Now, I've been encouraged by the testimonies that some of you have shared about in these recent weeks, being woken in the night to pray for me and my family as the Lord's put us on your hearts. And the timing of your testimony coincided with the very time that we were in the midst of discerning God's will for the days ahead. I've appreciated your prayers as they've helped to make clear God's will. I would also encourage you to continue to pray. Continue to ask the Lord to confirm in the heart of who is next to come, that that would be a work of the Spirit. I'd ask that you continue to pray for wisdom for the pastoral search committee, for the board of Terrace Pentecostal Assembly that are going to begin meeting and discerning God's will for the days ahead. Pray for them. Pray that they have wisdom. Pray that they have sensitivity to the Spirit. Pray that they be filled with the Spirit so that it is not decisions that are being made with man's plans, but rather that God would ordain the steps. It's good to have plans. But in those plans, allow God to make the corrections necessary that His steps would be followed. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we conclude. And I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning. And I just want to pray along those lines that I've just outlined. You know, I remember the first sermon that I preached as the senior pastor of this church. At praying will of God prayers. Talking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and how there was a direction that was set before him, and it's a hard one. But he prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." Praying in accordance with the will of the Father. And I think it's fitting that today, on near the end of my time here at Terrace Pentecostal Assembly, that we're back to that. Let's pray will of God prayers for the days ahead. So join me in prayer, would you? Father in heaven, thank you that you are interested and care deeply about what takes place at Terrace Pentecostal Assembly, among this body of believers corporately, and in the individual lives of every believer here. God, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would awaken our spirits, that you would tune our spiritual ears, that we would hear what you are saying to the church. God, we pray that your Spirit would be at work in those that are going to be making decisions going forward. Lord, that they would not be only concerned with the plans and the processes that are laid out by man, but Lord, that they would be listening with their spirit to what you are saying to the church. God, we pray for that individual who you have set aside to be the next leader of Terrace Pentecostal Assembly. Lord, the next under shepherd to come in and to serve you and your people for your glory. God, we pray that you would be working in that person's heart, that you would be stirring in them just as you stirred in me, that you would call them just as you have called many. Lord, that there would be a work that takes place inside of them, a confirmatory work, something that they would say, the Spirit has made this clear. God, that in all of it, we would not be caught up in the trappings of the world and in the processes of the world that says we are on a hiring mission. But Lord, we would set aside those things and instead look to you. Jesus, may your bride be your glory. We submit ourselves to you and your direction, to your care and your comfort, to your work in us. I ask these things in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. Amen.